good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday. It's the seventh day of November, and this is your Community Christian Station Missionary Radio. Brian Sidebottom along with Joe Barner this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good
How
morning,
you doing?
Brian.
Yeah.
Good morning, friends.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. I told Joe as he came in this morning, I said, feeling a little rough this morning. I don't know if it's a weather change or what it is. But anyway, I'll make it.
Maybe it's the time change still catching up to you.
You think that's what it is? It's the time change? That's a possibility. Well, what about the weather, Joe? I know we kind of talk about the weather some, but, you know, it's talking about snow.
I saw that. Was it Sunday night?
Yeah.
Chance of some snow showers early Monday morning.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
Cold temperatures.
Really? But, yeah. So if you hadn't had a chance to get your heat all taken care of and everything.
Good luck getting it done today.
Yeah, good luck because it's going to be rough. So anyway, but it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Now today is supposed to be really nice, except for some chances of rain.
Yeah. But it's going to be 69 today.
69. So
it's going to be nice. It's going to be nice.
Well, you don't always have that in the fall.
A lot of times, no. Nope. Well, Joe, where are we going to be at today?
Well, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy.
Okay.
And chapter 6, actually we'll start at the end of chapter 5 of Deuteronomy and progress. We're going to be talking about obedience. I was just noticing on the Missionary Radio Facebook page, you've got it up on the screen there.
Yeah.
And that's a great word for us. The mark of a great church is not how many people come, but how many people live differently for having been there?
That's it.
Ouch!
And I was searching this morning to put that on there, and I just that was that first instinct when I was reading it. I was like, "That's a good one." I said, "I'm gonna put that on there this morning."
I like that.
So yeah. We got to live differently. We can't live the same way. So, Lord changes us around, don't he, Joe?
He does.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." All week long on today's Word in 60, I've shared popular verses from the Bible. Today is no doubt the most popular and well-known by believers and unbelievers alike. The truth of the gospel is in this verse. God not only loved but so loved the world, all the people, that he gave his only Son for you, me, the whole world. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Jesus loves you. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
I can be having a bad day or off day and turn the radio station on, and seems like it just makes my whole day better.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on your Christian Community Radio station, Missionary Radio.
Well, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, one of the mainstays, his broadcast through the Bible with Trans World Radio. Mm-hmm. Our friends John Somerville and Andy Napier have told us that, you know, Dr. McGee, when they asked if they could use his broadcast because he goes through the Bible book by book, chapter by chapter.
Sure.
And they use his broadcast translated into different languages on Trans World Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls it the Bible bus.
Okay. All right.
Well, Dr. McGee got right to the bottom line of Deuteronomy 6 when he wrote, "There are actually only two classes of people in the world, those who love God and those who hate God. The heart attitude is evidenced by their obedience or disobedience." Now, Jesus had something to say about that, Brian. If you look in John chapter 14, verses 15 and 21, he talks about the importance of obedience and our love for him.
"If you love me, keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them."
There's great blessing then in loving the Lord and demonstrating that love by obedience. Moses, in his address to the new generation of Israelites before they went in to conquer the Promised Land, reminded them of the Ten Commandments, which had been given to them 40 years before at Mount Sinai. And he told them in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, verse 29, what the attitude that God would be looking for from them.
Oh, that they would have such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it would be well with them and with their children forever.
God desired to bless his people.
Yes.
I believe he still does.
Yes, he does.
But he requires that his people love him and demonstrate that love. How? By keeping his commands.
Yes.
Obedience is how we show our love for God. Moses built on that idea in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first three verses.
Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey.
God did not give his commands to Israel only for their education or to satisfy their curiosity. God gave them commands so that they would be observed and obeyed, so that they could live in relationship with God.
Yes.
The Apostle James had the same idea over in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do.
You know, head knowledge of what God wants from us isn't enough. Mm-hmm. It has to move from our head to our hearts,
yes,
to our hands and to our feet,
yes,
and out of our mouths.
Yes.
You know, how many of us have looked at the mirror this morning and said, huh, good enough?
Well, I don't know. I looked this morning and I said, it's a fine-looking fella right there. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But no, I don't know if I've ever looked in the mirror and said that, but anyway.
Well, it reminds me of 30, 40 years ago, my wife Rachel worked at Casey Osta,
department store
downtown Hopkinsville.
Okay.
And they had a dear lady, Miss Jen, who would substitute when someone would call in sick.
Yeah.
She would tell Mr. Casey, well, let me put my teeth in and run a comb through my hair, and I'll be in.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you remember the TV show Happy Days.
Yes.
Remember when Fonz looked in the mirror?
I think so.
He didn't just say good enough. He said,
hey. Yeah.
Not me. When I look in the mirror in the morning, I think, well, I've got to do something about that stubble on my face.
Well.
And that bedhead at the very least.
Yes.
Sometimes it's a combination of bedhead and caphead.
Yes.
And Sunday morning, I learned just before Sunday school that my collar didn't pass inspection on the shirt that I was wearing.
So you had to have help putting it down, didn't you?
Well, Rachel tried to adjust it, but it was probably too late. I've had people tell me that I had something on my nose on occasion, and
you
were one of those true friends.
Yes, I wanted to let you know. That's right.
There were two other occasions previous to that when I was getting ready to try to lead in worship.
Yeah.
And it's important to know that your nose is clean when you do that.
Yes.
And that your zipper is up.
And your zipper's up. Yeah, that's a good one. Yep.
Well, one of those friends, I was able to tell him one Sunday morning before church, I said, friend, you've got your shirt on inside out.
Oh, boy.
Well, we want to put our best feet forward.
Yes.
And our best face forward.
Yes.
To try to look our best when we go out.
Yes.
And if we're that concerned with our physical appearance, how much more should we be concerned with our spiritual condition?
We should be really, really concerned.
James was telling us not to dodge that spiritual mirror, the commands of God. You know, when we look into the Word of God, we often need to make some adjustments. Mm-hmm. We need to clean up by asking for forgiveness. We need to allow God to clothe us
yes.
in His righteousness, yes. which doesn't have a funny turned-up collar.
That's true. Very true.
And we need for Him to give us His peace and joy that will show up in our countenance.
Yes.
Well, Moses urged the Israelites to fear the Lord, to reverence Him, to put Him first. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses listed some great benefits of fearing the Lord, of demonstrating our love for God by observing His statutes and commandments. In verses 2 and 3 of Deuteronomy 6, he lists some. He said that Israel might enjoy long life.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yep.
These people, this was the second generation coming out of Egypt, and they had just witnessed their parents' and grandparents' lives being cut short
yeah.
by their disobedience as they mm-hmm. died in the wilderness for their lack of faith.
Yep.
And today, you know, we might see some folks who shorten their lifestyles. They shorten yep. their lifespan by sinful lifestyles.
Yes.
We also see, of course, some folks who have followed the Lord and live clean lives, and yet they encounter sickness and even what we might view as a premature death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we realize that God has the length of our lives in His hands.
That's right. That's right.
Charles Spurgeon put it well, God does not give long life to all His people, yet obedience to God is the most probable way of securing long life. The King James Version in this passage uses the phrase that your days may be prolonged, that it may be well with you. Moses was telling the people that if they obeyed God's commandments, their lives would be filled with blessing. And if they did not, they could expect to be cursed by God.
Yep.
Whether the nation prospered or struggled, it would be connected to their devotion to God. And if they followed the Lord, they would also get to enjoy that land flowing with milk and honey. When we follow the Lord, there should be a richness to our enjoyment of life. One writer reminds us that when we are living in harmony with God, He lavishes His blessings on us. For instance, Isaiah 55:7 speaks of His abundant pardon of our sins. Mm-hmm. He will freely or abundantly forgive. And Hebrews 7:25 tells us that He is able to save completely or to the uttermost
mm-hmm.
those who come to God through Him because He always lives to intercede for them. God, He's an extravagant God.
Yes, He is.
He doesn't do things halfway.
Mm-mm.
Now, as we continue in our study of Deuteronomy chapter 6, we come to verses 4 through 9, a passage known as the Shema, S-H-E-M-A. It's considered by the Jewish people to be one of the most important Old Testament scriptures. You know, to this day, we're told observant or Orthodox Jews will recite the Shema at least twice daily.
Mm-hmm.
So let's read it, verses 4 through 9 of Deuteronomy 6, called the Shema.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
You know, in this context, the first word of verse 4, hear, implies that we take heed. Listen closely to these words. They are very important. They are essential. And we're to listen closely for the purpose of obedience. We're not only to hear, but we're also to put this declaration of belief into practice as James said, to be doers of the word. Like the Jewish people, we as Christians believe there is only one true God. And this does not go against our belief in the Trinity, taught in both the Old Testament and New Testament. We believe God exists as three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Christians worship one God as existing in three persons.
Yeah.
We don't view him as three separate gods.
No.
And what sets us apart from most Israelites is that we believe Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Son. And we pray that one day our Israelite friends will see that what they have refused to acknowledge for over 2,000 years, that Jesus is God.
Yes.
In human flesh.
Yes.
We'll come back, talk more about the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, after Pen from the Heart here on your community Christian station, Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thanks for God-honoring programming. We want you on the air for a long time. From Katie's, "I'm so thankful that God uses Missionary Radio to spread his message. What a gift your station is to so many, including me." From Hopkinsville, "I've loved you all since the beginning." And from Cumberland Furnace, "We appreciate your ministry. Blessings to you all."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Joe, before we continue, I'd like to mention real quick about our podcast that's available where you can go back and listen to The Front Porch. If you miss an episode, you can go back and listen. And also Ministry Spotlight as well on our website, missionary.radio. And, of course, you can also go to Spotify, Amazon Podcast, and Apple Podcast as well.
All righty. Well, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning, a section called the Shema. Starts off in verse 4 by declaring, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that stood in contrast to the worship the Jewish people had witnessed up to that time. The beliefs of the Egyptians, who had many gods, and also the Canaanites worshiping multiple gods. But verse 5 declares, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength."
Yeah.
You know, when Jesus was quizzed in Mark chapter 12 as to which was the greatest of the commandments, he quoted verse 5 with one little modification. We'll see if we can pick it out. Verses 28 through 30 of Mark 12.
"One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, 'Of all commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.'"
Jesus added that not only are we to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, but he also spoke about loving the Lord with our minds.
Yes.
Everything we are is to love the Lord. We're to love him passionately, in other words. We are to have faith that he is God alone, and that faith is to possess us.
Yes.
It is to be the most essential element in our lives. David Jeremiah pondered the question, how can love be commanded? God commands us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with our strength, and all our minds. Well, the reason David Jeremiah said is that love in Hebrew is not confined to feelings. Mm-hmm. The term heart centers on the intellect, sensibilities, and the will. So when God commands that his people love him, it means that we should decide to cleave to him and him alone. Mm-hmm. We make up our minds to love him, just as an essential element of love is commitment.
Yes.
I'm going to love you. Well, another writer declared that God wants complete love from his people. This love is appropriate because he loved first and he loved completely. Mm-hmm. We love him because he first loved us. Yes. That phrase found in 1 John 4:19. For the Israelites in Deuteronomy, God had showed that love in bringing them out of slavery in Egypt and bringing them into the land that he had promised to give them. For us, how did God demonstrate his love?
By dying on the cross.
Yeah, by sending his son Jesus to die for our sins.
Yes.
So that as John 3:16 declares, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. You know, when you think about it, what God wants most from humanity is for us to return his love.
Yes.
When people really love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then all is freely given to the Lord who gave his all for us.
Yes.
Now, the remainder of what is called the Shema is instruction to communicate this love and obedience to our children, our grandchildren, to those who will come after us. The other day, I read this in Our Daily Bread that was a tool that my parents used to teach my brothers and I the way of the Lord. Wynne Collier shared these thoughts. An outspoken atheist believes it's immoral for parents to teach their children religion as though it were actually true. Mm. He even claims parents who pass along their faith to their children are committing child abuse. Mm. You didn't know you were a child abuser, did you, Brian?
Didn't have a clue.
That's a far-out view.
Yeah, very far.
And those views are extreme, Wynne Collier says, but he said, I do hear from parents who are hesitant to boldly encourage their children toward faith. While most of us readily hope to influence our children with our view of politics or nutrition or sports, for some reason, some of us treat our convictions about God differently. In contrast, Paul wrote of how Timothy had been taught from infancy the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:15. Timothy didn't arrive at faith as an adult through the power of his own unaided reason. Rather, his mother nurtured his heart toward God, and at one point, Timothy put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he continued in what he learned. If God is life, the source of true wisdom, he is, then it's vital for us to tenderly cultivate a love for God in our families. Yes. May we choose not to be silent. Let's go back and reread Moses' instructions for families, verses 6 through 9.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates.
Now, these verses remind us that this great command to love God must live first in our own hearts, and it must be the driving force of our lives, and then it must be lived out consistently. And then it must be communicated to the children, the next generation. You know, these verses tell us several ways to do that. Number one, it should consistently be the topic of our conversation.
Yes.
Verse 7 says to talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no opportunity to engage in spiritual training should be missed.
Yep.
Parents and grandparents should just very naturally talk about the Lord. And Moses also suggested some visual aids that could be used to teach the children spiritual truths. In verses 8 and 9, he said, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The first refers to what would come to be known as wearing phylacteries, a small box holding parchment with scripture passages written on it, held to the forehead or the hand with leather straps. The Pharisees would kind of, they liked to have big phylacteries to show how spiritual they were. And they would also attach a small container nailed to the doorpost called a mezuzah. We don't have phylacteries or mezuzahs.
No.
I don't recall any of them, but, no. But I do remember some visual aids from growing up, scriptures on the wall,
yes.
Such as that from Joshua, "As for me and my house, mm-hmm. we will serve the Lord."
Yeah.
And I also recall that picture of Jesus as the good shepherd seeking after the lost sheep.
Yes.
I love hearing from parents tell of their children praying to receive Christ very naturally in the home.
Mm-hmm.
We rejoiced at Second Baptist Church Hopkinsville Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Brother Matt, our music minister,
yeah.
his youngest son,
yeah,
just very naturally in the home.
Yeah.
Was asking questions and then prayed to receive Christ.
Amen.
So we're rejoicing in another Crook family member.
That's good news.
And that completes the circle.
Amen.
That circle
Amen.
Will be unbroken.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon stressed that parents should not leave spiritual instruction to the schools or even Sunday schools. "However much we love and appreciate the Sunday school system," Spurgeon said, "and we cannot love it too much, I hope we shall never forget that the first duty toward a child belongs to the parent. Fathers and mothers are the most natural agents for God to use in the salvation of their children." Well, we've worked our way through the Shema.
Yeah.
Great passage of Scripture. Remember, Orthodox Jews recite that twice daily, and it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
In our homes, to refer often to those verses and remind ourselves that we're to live it out and we're also to teach it.
Yes.
We'll talk more about Deuteronomy chapter 6 when we come back after Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope here on Missionary Radio, your local community Christian station.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tata Sharing Hope. Here's a great reminder from Johnny for now and for all eternity.
If there is one thing God has opened the eyes of my heart to, it is this: to live each day with an eye on eternity. Oh my goodness, live with the goal of investing in the heavenly kingdom. And there is something else I might pray almost every morning. I'll pray, "Lord, I am not satisfied with the Johnny I was yesterday. Today, I want to partner with your Holy Spirit to be changed, to be transformed. I want to become more like Jesus than I was yesterday." That's a great prayer, as well as a great perspective. And it's why every morning when I wheel into the Johnny and Friends International Disability Center, our headquarters, I cannot help but sing. Coming through the front doors, it might be, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." Or going up the ramp to the second floor, it'll be, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Some people ask why I sing so much, and I tell them that I have to. With me in this wheelchair, I don't trust my emotions one bit. I know I am way too prone to let pain and paralysis ambush my attitude for the day. And so, I rule my emotions by not just talking to my soul, as did King David when he said to himself, "Oh, soul, why art thou so downcast?" No, more than talking to myself, I'll sing to myself. Sometimes, we are only prone to praise God or singing worship songs when life is good and we feel that the coast is clear, the bills are paid, and it's smooth sailing. When circumstances are delightful, when things are good, we feel that God is good. But then, if the circumstances turn sour, it's another story, isn't it? When things go haywire, it's, okay, God, what is going on here? What's up with this? Like, what's happening? Have you forgotten me here? The sun does not always shine. Birds do not always sing. The sky is not always clear of clouds. Life is hard. And most often, that is when we have a tough time singing praise to the Lord. We're so influenced. We're so prone to let our circumstances, whether good or bad, we're so inclined to let the situation of the day dictate our view of God for the moment. But time and again, the Bible tells us that God is the same good, happy Father in bright times as He is in devastatingly difficult times. He does not change, no matter what our circumstances. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that your Lord, your God, is God. He is faithful. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands." So, friend, let that fact sink in, and it'll help you live each day with an eye on eternity. A fact like that will get you actively engaged in your own sanctification each morning, especially when you wake up, and who knows, you may be tone deaf, but He'll put a song in your heart. The book of Hebrews describes God as the Father with whom there is no shadow of turning. Scripture alone should be our frame of reference for who the Lord is, rather than our circumstances being that frame of reference. So today, whether it's grand or gloomy, whether it's happy or hard, sunshine or rain, sunny or sour, remember, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
Concert information, the Awakening Tour, featuring Skillet and Jeremy Camp. Saturday, November 22nd in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena with special guest We Are Messengers. One night. One stage. The Awakening Tour. Skillet, Jeremy Camp, and We Are Messengers. Tickets and info available at awakeningfoundation.com. The Awakening Tour. An Awakening Foundation event.
In partnership with TWR. Missionary Radio.
I like that phrase, unashamed of the one who took my shame.
That's right.
Jesus took our shame upon
Amen.
Him and hung on the cross for my sin. We're talking about the communication of our faith with children, with those who come after us. Again, let me share that quote from Charles Spurgeon. However much we love and appreciate the Sunday school system, and we cannot love it too much, I hope we shall never forget that the first duty toward a child belongs to the parent. Fathers and mothers are the most natural agents for God to use in the salvation of their children. I'm thankful for parents that communicated the gospel to me, who lived it out and also communicated it to me through the years. Later on in this chapter, Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 through 25, Moses would return to communicating the worship of God to the succeeding generation. Verses 20 through 25.
Okay, when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves in of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to oversee or observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we're careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us."
What Moses was saying, I think, was for parents and grandparents to look for what we now call teachable moments. Assuming parents are living out their faith in God, they should be prepared to answer children's questions. Questions like, why do you live as you do?
Yes.
Why do you live with integrity when it would be easier to cut some corners ethically? Why is church and the worship of God such a priority?
Yeah.
Why do we go to church every time the doors are open? That's a question I pose.
Yeah, why do we go every time the doors are open? You know, Joe, I just love going to church.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I just love being there. I mean, you know, being around other believers, it just makes me feel good. I mean, you know, so.
Yeah, in our home, church was not an option.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't, you know, and that's the way our girls, we teach our girls now, you know, at home. They'll say, well, I'd like to stay home today. No, there ain't no staying home today. You're going to church no matter what. So, yeah. So.
As long as you live under this roof.
That's it. You're going to go.
You're going to go.
That's right.
But really, I wish my parents had said, we're going because we want to establish this as a life pattern for you. To demonstrate how important fellowship is, how important worship of God is.
Yes.
You know, a child might ask, why do you read your Bible and pray every day?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, to stay close to God.
Stay close to God, yes.
Moses challenged Israel to do what he had just done for them, to recount the mighty works of God on their behalf, that he had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, and that soon, from their perspective, God would finish what he started. He would bring them into the land he had promised them. He brought them out so that he could bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
For some of us, those teachable moments should include how God saved us.
Yes.
How he is with us always. And that is Philippians 1:6 reminds us, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God, we're not finished products of God's grace yet.
That's right.
As the old song said, he's still working on me.
Still working on me.
To make me what I ought to be.
Amen. That's right.
Well, before we close the book on Deuteronomy today, there's also a word of warning for Israel and for all of us. You know, in his address to the Israelites, Moses warned against the worship of God not being communicated and passed down to the next generation. Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 through 12, he also warned about the danger of prosperity.
So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards, and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
You know, while adversity might not be able to turn them away from the Lord, prosperity and satisfaction could possibly do it.
Yeah.
You know, in adversity, we've seen some become bitter against the Lord. Maybe we have. But in adversity, many cry out to the Lord for his help and take comfort in his presence, even when things are tough. But on the other hand, when life is good, even when we are prosperous, can we get so caught up in enjoying the blessing of the Lord that we forget the one who provided so abundantly?
Yep.
Moses believed they could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after they had conquered the peoples in the promised land, all they had to do was to move into these flourishing cities. They were finding houses that were already filled with good things.
Yes.
I don't know how they decided who would live in which house.
Yeah.
Scripture doesn't tell us that.
Mm-mm.
But they would also have vineyards and olive groves that they didn't plant, cisterns or wells they didn't have to dig.
Yep.
They were like folks, we might say today, who were born with a silver spoon in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure what that means, but how many times have we seen a business venture be started by hard work and dedication, and by the third generation or so, it would fail because the succeeding generations weren't willing to put in the effort to keep it going?
Yeah.
The same idea is true when people enjoy the blessings of the Lord, and the succeeding generations don't share that initial spiritual fervor and close relationship with the Lord with those who came before. You know, the Lord was saying to the people through Moses, when you receive all this abundance, don't forget me. Don't forget that I am the source of all your blessings.
Yes.
You know, sadly, in future generations, Israel would often forget the Lord, and a tragic cycle would begin.
Yes.
They would forget the Lord and turn away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he disciplined them, what would they do?
They would grumble and complain.
And eventually they would come around to crying out to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They would repent and begin following him again.
Yep.
And then God would bless them.
Bless them again.
And they would follow him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would turn away from him again.
Yes.
You know, we can avoid that cycle of being mindful to pass on our faith. Or we can avoid that cycle by being mindful to pass on our faith and devotion to God to the generations that follow us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I read this week from Max Lucado the importance of prayer in passing our faith along to the next generation. He said, "Never underestimate the power that comes when a parent pleads with God on behalf of a child. Who knows how many prayers are being answered right now because of the faithful ponderings of a parent 10 or 20 years ago?"
Yes.
God listens to thoughtful, praying parents.
Yes, he does.
Praying for our children is a noble task. If what we are doing in this fast-paced society is taking us away from prayer time for our children, Max said we're doing too much. There's nothing more special, more precious than that time a parent spends struggling and pondering with God on behalf of a child. Brian, we got a short song. We'll just finish up right here, right now.
Well, let me see if I can find one here real quick.
Again, you can access the podcast for these programs on our website, missionary.radio.